Avibhaktam Shabhuteshu Vibhaktam Ivachastitam Bhutabhatra Chathajgeyam Grashinshnu Prabhavishnucha. Although the Supersoul appears to be divided, he is never divided. He is situated as one, although he is the maintainer of every living entity. It is to be understood that he devours and develops all. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart as the Paramatma, or the Super Soul. Does that mean that the Paramatma has been divided? The example is given in the Shastra of the sun. When the sun is in the middle of the sky, it is one. But it is appearing everywhere, even 5,000 miles away, in all directions. If someone asks, where is the sun? They will say it is just overhead. So the Vedic literatures explain that although God, Paramatma, is one, by his transcendental potency, he has manifested himself, expanded himself within the heart of every living entity. Krishna says in Gita, Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesher junatishtiti brahmayan sarva bhutanam yantra rudani mayaya, that I am situated in everyone's heart and I am directing the wanderings of every living being. Then one may ask the question, if it is the one same supreme personality of Godhead who is seated within every living being's heart, then why is it that every living being has its own particular type of consciousness? Some are very sinful and some are very pious. Some are very materialistic and some are very spiritual. There is an infinite variety of desires that are being manifested according to the three modes of material nature. If God is one and he is seated within everyone's heart, then how is it that so many living beings in this material creation are under the control of the threefold miseries and the three modes of material nature? Sri Bhagavan says, Maya dyakshena prakriti suyatesha characharam hetu nanani konteya jagad viparibharatate. He says that I am the controller. The whole material existence is working under my direction. Tribhir gunamayar bhavayar. And these three gunas, I am never affected by them because they are working always under my jurisdiction. So how is it possible that so many living beings, so many living entities are under the control of the modes of material nature? According to the Shastra, this is evidence that there are two souls within the heart of every living being. There is the Jivatma as well as the Paramatma. The Paramatma is one, but the Jivatmas are many. It is explained, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yovaditati Kaman, that there is one Supreme Soul who is the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna. But there are many eternal souls who are part and parcel of that one supreme soul, who are always under the control, the subordinate condition of the one supreme Paramatma. It is explained in the Upanishads that this body is like a tree, and the heart is like the nest, and within that nest there are like two birds. One bird, which is the Jivatma, the infinitesimal part of the Supreme, is fully conscious, is eternal, and is trying to enjoy the fruits of the tree of this body. Sometimes the fruits are very sweet, and the Jivatma, the soul, enjoys like anything. And sometimes the fruits are very bitter and sour, and the soul must suffer. And on this tree of the body, there are multifarious fruits. And to the degree that bird is attached to the pleasures of the sweet fruits, to that degree he will suffer when he tastes the bitter fruits. Krishna says in Gita, Yehi samsparasha cha bhoga dhuka jonaya evate atyanta vanta konteya nateshu ramate buddha. An intelligent person knows that all the pleasures of the senses are sources of misery because they have a beginning and an end. What is the definition of wisdom in Bhagavad Gita? One who does not take part in sense gratification, in trying to enjoy the fruits of this body. Wisdom means to know that all the pleasures of this world are sources of pain because everything is temporary. Dhukalayam ashashvatam. But as this bird is so busy throughout his whole life, working so hard, making so many wonderful grand arrangements to taste these fruits of sense enjoyment, the Paramatma, the other bird within the nest of our heart, is simply watching, simply observing. He knows all what type of supreme being is God. He has expanded himself as a Paramatma in the heart of every living entity. How many living entities, how many living beings are within this planet? Innumerable. And there are innumerable planets within this universe. And there are innumerable universes within this creation. And this material creation is just one particle of the existence of the spiritual world. And yet this one supreme being, the Paramatma, knows past, present, and future of everyone's desires, thoughts, and activities. Vedaham samatitani varatamanani chaujana bhavashani cha bhutani mamtu vedanakashtam. Krishna says that I know everything that's happened in the past. Not just some things, everything, everywhere. And Krishna knows everything that is happening everywhere at the present. And he knows all things that will take place in the eternal future. Krishna says, I know all living beings perfectly. But no one can know me in full. This is the greatness and the power of Bhagavan. But how merciful, how loving he is. Aham bija pratapita. Just like the most caring and concerned father. However many times we disobey him, we blaspheme him, we discredit him, he remains closer than the closest thing in our life. He always remains beside our soul, simply waiting for us to turn to him. Simply waiting to give us the opportunity to enjoy eternal life in his spiritual abode. Such unconditional love can be found nowhere in this material world. Everyone is looking for a perfect loving relationship. But where can such a loving relationship to be found? No jivatma has the power to express such unconditional love. Even the greatest demons and asuras, Krishna never leaves them. He always remains within their heart, just waiting to forgive them and to take them back home, back to Godhead. Just like there may be many forms of wood, different size wood, different shapes of wood. And although wood is one, when you light it on fire, if it's a big piece of wood, it produces big, big fire. If it's a tiny, small piece of wood, it produces just a small piece of fire. Similarly, although every jivatma is of the same quality, mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashashtan indriyani prakriti stani karashati. Although every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna, according to its particular condition, it manifests itself completely different. Because in the conditioned state of consciousness, because since time immemorial, the conditioned soul neglects, ignores the voice of the Paramatma, the beloved Lord within our heart. Therefore, we have become so callous that we cannot any longer hear the sound of his voice. Because our consciousness is so externally oriented, trying to find pleasure, purpose, and joy in life through our senses and through our mind, that one Paramatma, out of his causeless, infinite mercy, speaks to us so that we can hear him through our senses. He appeared in this world in so many avatars, that one Paramatma. He appeared as Ram, as Narasingha Bhagavan, as Vamanadeva. He appeared in his original transcendental form of Sri Shyam Sundar Krishna. And he spoke Bhagavad Gita. Here is the Lord within our heart speaking so that we can hear him with our ears. And that Bhagavad Gita, that one Paramatma, appeared as Vedavyas, to write down the message of Gita, to write down all Vedic truths, so that whenever we pick up the Shastra to read it, whenever we hear the sadhus speaking in terms of the Shastra, we are hearing directly the Paramatma within our own heart. Therefore it is said, Shastra Chakshusha, that an intelligent person sees through the eyes of the Shastra. These material eyes that we have now are defective. How can some people say, "Can you show me God?" But what power do your eyes have to see God? The closest possible things to your eyes is your eyelid. And you cannot even see that. What to speak of things far, far away? The eyes are imperfect. Therefore, they cannot perceive the perfect. But through sound vibration, God is revealing Himself through the transcendental sound of the Shastra and through the transcendental sound of His name. And by seeing this world according to what is spoken in Scripture, we can see God everywhere. Mayadhyakshena prakriti sugyate sacharacharam. Krishna says, "I am the creator and I am the maintainer and I am the destroyer of everything that exists. And everything is under my control." Every time the sun rises in the morning, how is it possible that we can predict the exact minute that the sun will rise? The astrologers, just like 2 days back there was an eclipse, they knew years before this that there would be an eclipse exactly at that time, exactly at 4:30. It will last till 8 o'clock. How do they know? How do they know every day when it is Ekadasi? Some of us fast, and there's something called Ekadasi Paran, which means the exact time the sun will rise when you can break Ekadasi. To the minute. 100 years from today, it can be predicted that the sun will rise on this particular day at 6:01 a.m. And guaranteed, it will rise at that time exact. The sun is so perfectly under control. Whose control? Not the astrologer's control. They are simply explaining what it will do. They have no power to say what it will, to determine what it will do. They will just say what it will do. Krishna is the controller of the sun. Krishna is the controller of the waning and waxing of the moon, the ocean. How many billions and trillions of waves are within the ocean? The Arabian Sea is only a 3-minute walk from our temple. With all the billions and trillions of waves that are constantly manifesting themselves within that ocean, why is it that it never goes beyond a certain level? We're sitting here very comfortably. None of us just now are worrying that a big wave will come and crush down this building and drown us all. Why? Because the ocean, the massive sea, is under control. And who is the controller? Krishna. And from within the heart of every living being, He is controlling everyone. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani saravasha ahankara vimuthatma karataham iti manyate. Krishna says that the bewildered soul thinks he is the doer of his activities, but actually they are carried out by nature. According to the particular desire of the jivatma within the heart, The Paramatma sanctions what we can do and what we cannot do. If we want to act sinfully under the modes of ignorance or passion, it is by the grace of Krishna that he allows us to act sinfully. But when we act sinfully, we have to accept the reaction of karma. Not a blade of grass can move without the sanction of the Lord. According to our desire, Krishna will fulfill our desire. This microphone, too. According to our desire, Krishna will fulfill. Therefore, he allows the Jivatma to continue his sojourn through this material existence, trying to be the enjoyer and the controller. But through the Guru, through the Sadhu, and through the Shastra, he is constantly inviting us, come back to the spiritual world. Get out of this place of birth and death. Allow me to liberate you from all suffering. Come back home, back to Godhead. This is real intelligence. That whatever we do, yat karosi rasnasi, yajju hoshi tatasya, yatapasya sikonte yatat kurushamadarapanam, should be done according to the will of Krishna. Tad vijnanartam sugurum eva abhigacche. We understand the will of Krishna through hearing from Guru, from Sadhu, and from Shastra. When we learn to orient our life, direct all our thoughts, all our words, and all our activities according to the words of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, that intelligent conclusion in life is to accept the invitation of the Vishwa Atma, the universal soul within our heart. Krishna makes so many wonderful arrangements just to invite us home back to Godhead. He appears in the scripture, he appears in his name, he appears through the activities of his devotees, he appears in the fire of the yajna, he appears in the beautiful form of the murti. The deity of Radha Gopinath is simply the expression of the supreme compassion of God to all living beings. Although we have rejected him, he is coming in such a beautiful form just to attract our hearts and our minds back to the pleasurable world of bhakti. The day before yesterday was the celebration of Snan Yatra. It is the ceremony by which Lord Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra are bathed with all auspicious ingredients. I'd like to speak very briefly about this wonderful form of Lord Jagannath, how he appeared in this world in such a wonderful, wonderful way, simply to attract our hearts back to him, and how he fulfills the desire of his devotees in the most transcendental and mysterious ways. Long, long ago, There was a king of the name Indrajumna. He was a great devotee of Lord Sri Krishna. And he was always praying to the Lord, please reveal yourself to me so that I can always be engaged in your loving service. He was always seeking the association of the Vaishnavas and of learned, pure-hearted Brahmins. He understood that the one and only goal of life is pure love and devotion and surrender to the Supreme Lord. So the Lord, who is within everyone's heart, when he sees a devotee turning to him with faith and with some sincere desire, then he makes every possible arrangement for that devotee to come back to his lotus feet. It is said, by the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru. And by the mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna. One may ask, how is it that some people have a Guru who is truly teaching the essence of surrender to Krishna, and other people have Gurus that are teaching all sorts of material ways to attain material comforts and benedictions? It is not by accident. Krishna knows every living being's desires, and he is directing everyone. If you have a sincere desire to know God, he will direct you to someone who will show you. Yayatamam prabhajyante tamstathaiva bhajamyaham mama vartmanu varatante manushya parata sarvasha adoshvatatata sadhu sangotha bhajanakriya. When there is a little faith in the heart, faith in God, and a sincere desire to approach him, then Krishna directs us by his infinite mercy to the sadhu satsang, to the association of sadhus, real sadhus, who are not teaching magic tricks, who are not teaching simply higher realms of mystical philanthropy, but who are teaching the process of surrendering our lives in the service of the Lord. So King Indrajumna, immersed in prayer that he wanted to approach Lord Sri Krishna, one day a pilgrim, a Brahmin, came to his kingdom, and he was speaking, and he said, King, you are very anxious to serve the Lord. The Lord has incarnated in a beautiful form of a murti, and his name is Nila Madhava. And then the pilgrim left. So Maharaj Indrajumna called many, many of his very pure and sincere Brahmin ministers to travel throughout the entire world looking for this beautiful form of Nila Madhava. And the Brahmins traveled everywhere, to the extreme north, the extreme south, east and west. And they all came back saying, we have not found any sign of this form of Nila Madhava. But one of these Brahmins, his name was Vidyapati. He was searching and searching. And he came into a jungle. And in that jungle, there was a community of Shabaras. Shabara means an outcast tribe of people whose occupation is to take care of hogs and pigs. And while he was there, he was invited into one house of the leader of the Shabaras. His name was Vishvasu. And he had a very chaste and loving daughter named Lalita. And Lalita served Vidyapati with great affection and with great devotion. And ultimately, Vidyapati asked Vishvasu if he could marry his daughter Lalita. So they were married. He saw the good qualities. Even though he was a first-class Brahmin, Vidyapati, and she was the daughter of the tenders of pigs, he saw that her qualities were so full of devotion, so full of love of God. She was such a chaste and pure-hearted soul that he was not so concerned with the external physical identity of her caste and her race. He was concerned with her spiritual qualities. So they lived together in the jungle, along with Vishvasu. But Vidyapati, he noticed something very peculiar, very strange, that every so many days, Vishvasu would disappear. He would not come home all night. And then when he would come home the next day, his body was scented with the smell of sandalwood and musk and all sorts of auspicious fragrances. He could not understand. So he asked his wife, Lalita, the daughter of Vishvasu, "Where does your father go at night? Why he doesn't return? And why he comes back smelling so wonderful?" She told him that my father has told me not to tell anyone this, but because you are my husband, I will tell you. Every fortnight, he goes into the jungle to worship a beautiful self-manifested deity of Krishna of the name Nila Madhava. And Vidyapati was very happy to hear this. It was the mission of the king that he find this Nila Madhava. He begged his wife, "Can you arrange so that I could see where he is?" She said, "My father, he will never allow anyone to see Nila Madhava." So the daughter, again and again and again, was requesting her father, "Please take Vidyapati for the darshan. Please, I beg you." So finally, because he had soft heart, he was a great devotee of the Lord, he said, "I will take him. But I will blindfold him, so he will not know where Nila Madhava is." So the wife of Vidyapati made a little cloth pouch, secret, connected to his belt, and she filled it with mustard seeds. And she told him, "As you are going there, you just drop these mustard seeds to make a trail." So he was blindfolded, and he was led by Vishvasu into the jungle, deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And then he came to a certain place, and Vishvasu, he unfolded the blindfold, and there, right before Vidyapati's eyes, was the beautiful form of Nila Madhava. When he saw this most wonderful murti of Sri Krishna, he just was struck with wonder. His heart was captivated by his beauty. He fell in divine love. Vishvasu said, "You remain here in the darshan of Sri Nila Madhava. I must now go collect the fruits and the flowers of the forest to make my offering." So Vishvasu went into the jungle. At that time, something very incomprehensible took place. Vijayapati was looking at the deity and he saw on a tree just close by there was a crow. And this crow happened to fall asleep. And when it fell asleep, it fell into a pond of water just where Nilamadava was standing. And after that crow fell in the water, right before this Brahman's eyes, the crow assumed a Vaikuntha form with four arms and immediately ascended to the spiritual world. So Vijayapati was thinking, what is the use of this material world, which is full of so many sufferings and so many unpredictable conditions? I should follow in the footsteps of this crow and jump in this pond of water. So he climbed the tree and was just about to jump in the water with faith that he would also return back home, back to Godhead, when a voice was heard. It said, Vijayapati, you are my servant. Your service is to bring the news of Nilamadava back to Indrajumna Maharaj. In this way, the Lord instructed that we should not be so anxious to return to the kingdom of God. We should be anxious to serve the Lord, to perform our devotional service. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, don't be so anxious to see God, but try to serve God so that He wants to see you. So Vijayapati renounced going back home, back to Godhead, to carry out his mission, his service. Vishvashu returned, and he started putting the wildflower garland on Nilamadava and decorating him with beautiful flowers and offering him the wild fruits. And just at this time, Nilamadava spoke to Vishvasu. He said, for many, many days I have been accepting your simple worship in this jungle. But at this time, I want to live in a big, grand, glorious temple and be worshipped with royal paraphernalia by Maharaj Indrajumna. And Vishvasu was thinking, my Lord wants to leave me. He is my life. He is my soul. I cannot bear this. So he took Vijayapati and made him a prisoner of his house so that he could not escape. First, of course, he blindfolded him again and brought him back. And then he said, you cannot leave this house because I am afraid if you leave, you will tell King Indrajumna about Nilamadava, who is my Lord, my life, my soul, my everything. He's all I have. If he is taken away, I have no reason to live. And certainly, if King Indrajumna makes this big temple, I will not even be allowed to walk in because I am of such a low caste. So Vijayapati was prisoner in the house for some time. But by Lalita's persuasion, ultimately her father let him go. And he immediately went to King Indrajumna and said, I have found Nilamadava. Radhe Radhe. Arnarsingha Baba told me recently that Radha Gopinath temple is none different than Barasano Dham. And just like in Barasano Dham, The electricity and the sound systems never work properly. By Radharani's mercy, also our microphones are not working so well. So King Indradumana, with a whole entourage of his soldiers, they followed Vidyapati. By that time, the mustard steeds have grown into mustard plants, and they were just following the trail of these plants on the ground. And they came to the exact spot where Nilamadava was residing. But to their great surprise, he was gone. He was not there. King Indradumana was feeling so much anxiety in his heart, of Vishwasu, and demanded, "You tell me where this Nilamadava is." He said, "Where he's supposed to be, that is all I know." At that time, a voice appeared and said to King Indradumana that my form of Nilamadava is unmanifest in this world at this time. You go to the Niladri, to that beautiful hill, which is now called Puri Dham, and you build a grand, magnificent stone temple for me and decorate it with gold and jewels. And then you have Lord Brahma come to consecrate the temple, and then I will appear. So with great, great effort for many, many years, Maharaj Indradumana, his whole life, his whole soul, just building this wonderful, wonderful temple. And because this took place near the Satya Yuga, people had great powers. So King Indradumana went to Brahma Loka to request Brahma to come to consecrate the temple. But Brahma was busy, so he kept King Indradumana waiting for some time. Finally, he came. Brahma said, "Yes, I will come." But you see, because he was waiting for a few minutes in Brahma Loka, during that time on the Earth planet, many, many generations had already been born and died. So when he returned, during that time he was gone, the entire temple he built was completely covered by sand and was underground. And many, many generations later, another king happened to find it and dug it out of the ground and had to renovate it. Anyways, when King Indradumana returned, his family members, all his friends, he was asking these strangers, "Where are they? Vidyapati? He is my great, 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 great grandfather. He died a long time ago." "What about my queen? Where is she?" "Queen? Queen? The king who is here now? Indradumana's queen? Are you talking about Indradumana's queen? She's the great, 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 great grandmother of the king." "Well, what about King Indradumana? Where is he?" Said, "King Indradumana? God, a long, long, this is history. We have read in history books that he built this temple and then he went to Brahma Loka and he never returned." So King Indradumana was very much puzzled. "How will I fulfill the purpose without the help of my loved ones?" So at that time, Narada Muni appeared, and he revealed that Vidyapati had incarnated as this person, and his queen had incarnated as this person. They were all there, and when they all He revealed to them their previous lives. And just like before, they were all, although in different bodies, they were all very intimately together again. And then, by the arrangement of the Lord, they were all allowed to resume their original forms as the associates of King Indrajumna. So Lord Brahma came. He said that this place of Niladri, Nilachala, is the eternal abode of the Lord. There is no question of me installing any murtis here. I will simply offer the benediction. I will put a flag on the top of the temple and tell the benediction that anyone who sees this flag with love and devotion will be liberated from the cycle of birth and death in due course of time. And then Brahma left. Meanwhile, King Indrajumna was still waiting for Nilad Madhava. And years went by and nothing happened. So he decided he must have committed some offense or something. So he made a vow to fast till death. And as he was fasting, one night he had a vision. In this vision, the Lord spoke to him, and I will appear in that form of wood. Dao Brahman. I will appear as Brahman in the form of wood. And you should find a sculptor who will take that self-manifesting form of myself in the form of wood to carve deities of Jagannath, my sister Subhadra, and my brother Balaram. And you will know this wood because there will be the signs of the conch shell, the chakra, the lotus, and the club. So sure enough, at the exact time, there was found this big, beautiful tree of wood with the four symbols of Vishnu upon it. So they went to lift it, but nobody could lift it. The army of King Indrajumna could not lift it. Then the Lord Jagannath spoke to the king from within his heart and said, "You must get Vishvasu, the king of the Shabras, and you must along, he on one side and Vindyapati on the other. And when they are both, my dear, close, beloved devotees are both on either side of me, then I will easily be lifted." So they took the wood Brahman, the divine form of Lord Hari, to a proper place. And then he called all the artistic sculptures in the kingdom and asked who will be the best to carve the forms of Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra. So one by one they went, but this wood was so hard that their chisels would break. No one could even make a single dent. At that time, Lord Jagannath incarnated himself as an old sculptor. And he appeared and he said, "Although I am an old man, I will sculpt these beautiful forms. I will carve them. But you have to give me a place of complete seclusion. And you must give me 21 days. And no one is allowed to disturb me at all. In fact, if anyone dares to come in, even for a moment, then I will stop all work." So King Indrajumna said, "All right, I will give you place." And he locked the door. But King Indrajumna, he was so anxious that every day he would sit outside the door listening to the sound of the carving. But then one day the sound of the carving stopped. And the next day and the next day and the next day there was no sound. He was thinking, maybe he's sick. Maybe he's died. Why there's no sound? So he was very much in anxiety. So he consulted his ministers, and his ministers, the Brahmin, said, "Do not you dare to go into that room." But his queen, she said, "You must go in, you must go in. We must find out why there is no sound of any work going on. Come, let's go." So on the order of his queen, he opened the door. And when he opened the door, the old sculpture was gone. There was no one there. And the deities were only partially complete. There were no hands. There were no legs. There were no fingers or toes. So King Indrajumna was thinking, "I have committed a great aparad. Because I have come in, the work is unfinished." So again, he made a vow to fast till death. And then Jagannath again spoke to him and told him that that old sculpture was me. I came to carve myself into the perfect form of Nilamadava with Balaram and Subhadra. But you promised that you would not, you promised me that you would not come in for 21 days, and you came in after only 12 or 14 days. Therefore, these deities will remain incomplete. But it is my lila, because I am in your heart. I am also in the heart of your queen. I wanted you to come in early, because this is the form I want to reveal to the world. Because it is said in the Upanishads that although the Lord has no material hands and no material feet, still he can accept everyone's offerings from everywhere, and he can go to all places at all times. How is it that the Lord, if he has no hands, he can accept our offerings, and if he has no feet, he can go everywhere and anywhere? The Upanishads explain in this way the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he has spiritual mind, spiritual senses, spiritual form, he has no material attributes. In this way, he has no material hands or feet, but he is accepting everyone's offerings and he is going everywhere. So just to make this shloka of the Upanishads understandable, to prove that it is true, I have appeared in a form with no material hands and no material feet, and I will accept everyone's offerings. In fact, you should offer 56 preparations every day for me to accept. And every year, I will go on my chariot and I will travel and let the whole world see how I am moving without feet. In this way, with the blessings of the Lord, the installation of Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra took place in this beautiful temple in Sri Jagannath Puri, where to this very day they are standing, accepting our offerings, accepting our love. The form of Jagannath is very special. The greatest celebration in Jagannath Puri is the Rath Yatra. The origin of the Rath Yatra took place in Kurukshetra. After 100 years of separation from Lord Sri Krishna, The Brijbasis, headed by Srimati Radharani and the gopis, Nanda and Yashoda, they were invited to Kurukshetra to the solar eclipse to see Krishna. At that time, they saw their beloved Shamsundar. He was not wearing his peacock feather, but rather he was wearing the crown of a king. He was no longer decorated with a garland of Vrindavan flowers, but he had wonderful, wonderful, precious jewelry. He was no longer standing on the bank of the Jamuna under a kadamba tree, but he was riding on majestic elephants with massive armies and soldiers all around him. And he had 16,108 queens who were accompanying him. Sri Radharani was seeing Krishna and she was praying from the core of her heart that you are the same Krishna and I am the same Sri Radharani, but I long to take you back, to see you on the bank of the Jamuna, under the flowering kadamba tree, with a peacock feather decorating your beautiful curling hair. The gopis were simple village girls. To see Krishna as Dwarkadish, the king of Dwarka, he was unapproachable. He was incomprehensible to them. Therefore, it is explained that Srimati Radharani was feeling such pain of separation. She was seeing Krishna before him, but he was a Krishna that she could no longer enjoy. She could only enjoy the Krishna of Vrindavan. She could only give enjoyment to Krishna of Vrindavan. So it is explained that when Krishna was living in Vrindavan with the gopis, when Krishna was absent for a moment from Srimati Radharani and the Brijbasis, it was a pain worse than death. And when he left for Mathura and then to Dwarka for so many long years, they would simply live only on the expectation that today Shamsundar will return. That pain of separation was the ultimate ecstasy of love. But a deeper pain of separation, the ultimate ecstasy of Vipralamba, was when Radharani was seeing Krishna right before her. But she realized that he has changed. This is not Vrindavan. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of the great acharyas of the Gaudiya Parampara, he prayed that when I leave this world, I want to die in the land of Kurukshetra. He explained, where there is the greatest need, there is the greatest service. If someone has just eaten a big meal, is it much service to cook prasad for him? But if a person is starving, to cook a nice feast of prasad is a great service. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, of all places, Radharani, she is in most need in Kurukshetra. Srimati Radharani, when she is seeing Krishna as Dwarkadish, her whole life is practically finished. In Vrindavan, she was only living with the expectation that Krishna will return, but now she is seeing him. There's no more expectations. She was in utter devastation, in love. Therefore, in his Manjari Bhava, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying, I want to be at the side of Radharani to help her in this most needed condition where she is standing in Kurukshetra. I want to sing the glories of Krishna as Rasaraj to pacify her mind. At that time, Sri Radharani and the gopis, in their minds, they constructed three beautiful chariots. And they put Krishna and his brother Baladev and his sister Subhadra on these chariots. And with their own hands, they pulled these chariots to Vrindavan. To see the beautiful sight and to serve the beautiful form of Sri Vrindavan Bihari. And Rath Yatra is the celebration of this bhava, this meditation of the gopis at Kurukshetra. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Krishna in the bhava, in the feelings of Sri Radharani. And therefore, by his divine arrangement, although he was longing to go to Vrindavan, his mother, Sachi Devi, told him that the same Krishna of Vrindavan is living in Jagannath Puri. Those who have the eyes to see him will see him playing upon his flute. So please go to Jagannath Puri. Because Vrindavan is a long distance away, I will never hear from you or hear any news about your wonderful pastimes. But Jagannath Puri is very close. Please reside there. Gauranga Mahaprabhu lived for many years in Jagannath Puri. And the highlight of the year was when all his devotees from all over would come for the Rath Yatra festival. And they would see the beautiful, beautiful dance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who in the ecstasy of Radharani was seeing Krishna in Kurukshetra and simply longing to bring him back to Vrindavan. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us that Vrindavan is actually the heart of every devotee. Because of our misuse of independence, because of our false pride and prestige, we want to be the enjoyer of the things of this world. Our hearts have become vacant. We want, although yes, Krishna is within our heart, he is not revealing himself. And because Krishna is not revealing himself within our hearts, every living being in this world is so lonely. We are trying to fill that loneliness through a husband, or through a wife, or through children, or through friends, or through pets, animals, or through possessing so many wonderful things, or through hearing people glorifying what we have done, what we have accomplished. But we're never satisfied. Because the heart is the abode of the Lord. And until the Lord reveals himself within our heart is an empty desert. And this whole world, all of civilization, is trying to escape from the loneliness of our heart through cinemas, through TVs, through intoxications, through so many forms of entertainment, sporting events, reading newspapers, every possible means. Scientists, technologists, they are inventing incredible devices every year. And ultimately, it's all to simply try to forget the loneliness within our heart. But no matter how much we accomplish, we are still lonely. This Rath Yatra festival is to invite Krishna back into our hearts. To pull Krishna back into the Vrindavan of our heart, where we can again exchange loving devotion with him eternally. And until that beautiful form of Sri Krishna again plays his flute within our heart and accepts our love, accepts our devotion, there is nothing we can do in this entire world that will bring our heart real satisfaction. And how did Lord Sri Chaitanya celebrate the Ratha Yatra? How did he invite Krishna to again enter into the Vrindavan of our hearts? By coming together with all of his devotees, by dancing together, and by chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Hari Ram. This is the Yuga Dharma. This is a process recommended in all the Shastras. This is the process given by Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya to again bring the realization of Krishna, love of Krishna, to awaken that eternal longing of the heart. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kabunoi Sravanadi Sude Chute Koriye Yudoi. That pure love of Krishna is dormant within the Vrindavan of everyone's heart. By associating with his devotees and by chanting the holy names in their company, that love of God is awakened. Krishna appears within the heart that is filled with love. So this is why this beautiful Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for all humanity. Although Sri Sri Radha Gopinath is standing before us, accepting our obeisances, accepting our prayers, we want to invite him to forever dwell within the core of our hearts and accept our love there. And this is the most wonderful method of bringing him into our hearts. By following in the footsteps of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, by offering our bodies as a sacrifice through the form of dancing before him, and by offering our consciousness completely as an offering of sacrifice by attentively chanting and hearing his holy name. J.J.